Just to say everybody's here today, and I'm glad you came. The lesson I have today is not what I've been working on for the last week, planning on. I was working on that lesson last night, and it just, you know, sometimes things don't come together the way you want them to. And I went to bed just kind of aggravated because I said, I don't like the way this is going. I don't want to have to preach this sermon. So anyway, this morning, way up in the morning, I woke up and I got this idea. And I just think the Lord might want me to rehearse this. I know you've probably heard it before. Some of you may not have, but most of you have seen it before. But you know really truly there's nothing new under the sun. Man can't keep coming up with new sermons because they don't exist. There's nothing new under the sun, and if we wind up teaching new stuff all the time, we're going to wind up in the air somewhere down the road. So we're going to rehearse something this morning, I think you might already know, but we're going to be going through the scripture. We're going to let you read it along with me. We're going to want everybody to see it together. And I'm going to read some verses in there around about it that may not or not pertain to what we're doing. But it will help us to understand that it's not taken out of context. And the first one we're going to start with is in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, we'll start reading with verse 17. Now the first day of the week, the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to such a man and say to him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening had come, he sat down with the 12. As they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said to him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink, eat, all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I just got the idea that it might be good to go over these things again concerning the Lord's Supper. We call it communion, the remembrance of Christ. And so we see that he's instituted this, and he said he's going to drink it new in his Father's kingdom. Well, today the kingdom is here. The church and the kingdom are the same thing, as Matthew 16 points out. They are the same thing. And so now the kingdom's here, and Christ drinks it with us the first day of the week, and you'll see that as we go on through. Now, next scripture I want to go to is in Mark chapter 14. We're not going to skip any of the Gospels of what they have to say concerning this matter. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at need, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and sprinkled. And sprinkled very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. I can't get my equipment to stay working. Okay. And there were some that had an indignation within themselves, and why was that what this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. My trouble ye her. She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whosoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand, put on my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken up for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests and betrayed them unto them, and said, I think I've got the verses down wrong. Just a second. Okay. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests and betrayed him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of the week of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and prepare thou that mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the city, and there shall you meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And whatsoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared, there to make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. As they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And they said, As they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Next, we want to look in Luke chapter 22, start on verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh when it's called the Passover, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then there were Satan and Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. And he went his way and commanded communion with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money, and promised and sought opportunities to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Well, if you remember Matthew and Mark, he said, I will drink no more. with you until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Here he says, eat and more. And so there's two things involved there, eating and drinking, that Jesus mentions. In verse 17, and he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks to them and gave unto him, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then he goes back and he says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament blood which is shed for you. And he said, behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me. So we see, he went through it in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And we see there's just a little difference in it, but it all points out there's eating and drinking in remembrance of him. And he pointed out that it is in the kingdom that is to come. It's something that he's going to do and the disciples are going to do in the kingdom that is to come. And as we follow this on through, we'll see John had a few things to say. And it's a little bit different. John is different from the other three. It doesn't take away from what the other three said. If John just covers things from a different aspect and he covers it in a different manner and covers it even fuller. In John 6 and 48, before this Passover taking place, no one knows what John has written here, saying what Jesus said. John 6 and verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came from heaven, down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strong among themselves, saying, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? You know, if you think about it in a literal sense, that is amazing that you're going to eat some man. And to them, that's what they saw. They was thinking about it in the physical sense, in a literal sense, not thinking about it spiritually as Jesus intended for it to be. And so if you look at this and consider, it is a spiritual feast that we partake of the Lord. And he says, they stole him. So verse 53, he says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up to the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And you know, it was hard for them to accept this. When he had thus said this, many of his disciples did not follow him anymore. Many of them were following him and left him. But you see, he's talking about the spiritual sense of this. It's a spiritual meal that we feast with Christ. And unless you eat of Jesus Christ, partake of him in a spiritual sense of what he has and the teaching he has and the spirituality of him, you have no life. You won't have eternal life except you partake of the gift of God, Jesus Christ. And from that, we want to go to John again in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 is where we see the actual sitting down at the meal. And he said, now, in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he would come forth from God and went to God. He raises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him,
What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You know, when I read that, I think about baptism. I think about being cleansed by the blood of Christ. John 13:9, and Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed that needeth not the Savior to wash his feet, but is clean never with, and you're clean, but not all. For he knew also who would betray him, therefore he said, you're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said, know ye what I have done to you? You call men master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We learn from this that Christ was teaching service. He was teaching not one is above any other. No one is over any other in the kingdom. He's teaching in the kingdom that we're all servants of the kingdom and we all serve one another. And you know, we would wash feet today. I would say wash feet today, except for one thing. It's not in any of the letters. Paul didn't mention it. Luke didn't mention it. It's not mentioned anywhere in any of the fallen teachings of the apostles that were directed by the Holy Spirit. And so I see it that just to be teaching what he's talking about here, that nobody is the Lord, but we're all servants and we all serve one another. We all need to be willing to serve and help one another, even to the point of washing one another's feet if that's necessary. But we need to do those things. And the next thing we want to look at then is over in Acts, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But Jesus continued his discourse here as they were sitting there at this point, all the way down through chapter 18, in which he dealt with the comfort he's going to send, the Holy Spirit, and the things he was going to do. He dealt with all that. It was a long discourse that followed, but nothing in John speaks to the for breaking of the bread per se. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. Now in this I declare unto you, I pray you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Whatever they were doing something that made their assembly worse. They were coming together, assembling together, and they'd done something that made it worse. And he says, you're not coming together for the better, but you're worsening the situation. And we need to realize today, that can happen today to us. He says, so first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, to one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, that's what we're studying tonight. Well, we need to look further down. We're studying today. He's saying that kind of in a derogatory way. He's meaning that it's not a physical meal. That's what he's talking about. It's not to be a physical meal, as we see, read on in verse 21. For eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat, to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, or shame them that have not? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We see here that Paul is going back to that night. And he's telling us about that night. And he's telling us that he didn't learn about that night from any of the disciples. He didn't learn about that night from anybody who was there. He learned about that night from Jesus Christ, who's dead, who he saw after he had resurrected. And so, and he goes on to tell him what the Lord had given him. And so he said to do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament blood. this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
You see, Paul is telling them what was important about that night that Christ warned them to do when he said, do this in remembrance of me.
And he's pointed out, it's not a matter of eating food for your body. It's not a matter of being filled with drink or being nourished physically. It is a spiritual meal that we commune with the Lord. And Jesus has said he's going to do it with them, and he does it with us today. And he goes on and says, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be given the body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The word unworthily has to do with the manner in which it's done. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And that was the problem. They came together for the worse and not for the better, because they were not discerning the Lord. They were just eating a physical meal. They were eating a physical meal and rejoicing and being happy and just having a feast, and that's not what it's about. And so today, you know, we have a little emblem that represents that. It's not a physical meal. Then we have a little drink that represents the blood of Christ. And it's not for the nourishment of our body, but to remember the death of Christ and his blood that was shed for our sins. And so that's what we follow that today. I want to go back up to verse 26. Remember what Paul said? For as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he come. As often as you do this, you keep that memory alive. That's what it's about. That's why we do it. Now I ask the question, how often shall we do it? And most of you know what I'm going to say. But how often should we do it? The world doesn't see how often you should do it. You know, God would not have left us in the dark without knowing how often. Some might say, well, let's do it every day of the week. It's that important. Let's do it all the time. 3 times a day. They had prayer 3 times a day on the old law back there. You know, Daniel went 3 times a day to pray. How often shall we do it? I don't think God would have left us in the dark. And I think that there's an example set forth that you would see that shows us how often shall we do it. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, here Paul tarried and waited and made sure he got to this place at this very time to do this very thing. And it says that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, read a parlor bar, and continued speech unto midnight. And some say, well, you know, that was just a physical meal. Well, I'm going to try to show you so you can understand this breaking of bread that he's speaking about here is not just a physical meal. They ate meals together. Yes, they did. I don't know if they ate a meal together every time they come together, but I know they did eat meals together in the early church. They did such. At one point, they did daily. They ate their meals together. And so we need to find out what he's talking about here when he's talking about breaking bread. And I'll turn to, we go now to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for all partakers of that one bread. Now let's back up just a little bit. Paul is talking to them about the fact that some of them being Christians, they were eating with the disciples of Christ, and then they go over there and eat with the devils, the people that worship idols. They're eating with those that worship idols. And that was a problem, because some of them were worshiping in both places. They were worshiping with the body of Christ, and they worshiped with those worshiping idols. And that was a major problem. And that's what he's approaching to here. He says, I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion body of Christ? And he's showing us that this communion there is of the body of Christ. And when we break the bread, it is of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for all partakers of that one bread. Everybody is a Christian. Everybody in Christ partakes. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are they not which eat the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? What say I then? that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to the idols is anything. The cup of blessing, excuse me. Behold, come down to verse number 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And so we see that he's pointing out there that they cannot do both and be right with God. And so the cup of blessing that we bless, it is representative. It is the blood of Christ. And the bread that we break is of the body of Christ. When he talks about breaking bread, he was talking about this communion, the Lord's Supper. Let's look further at this. Go now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they did gladly receive this word, were baptized, the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. You see, this up here has to do with the church. There's doctrine, there's fellowship. This is the coming together. They had the breaking of bread, and they had prayer. But I want you to come on down, and it will show you the difference between when it says breaking bread in the Bible and when they ate a meal. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want you to notice verse 46, the word breaking of bread used again. But this time it says, did eat their meat. When he has breaking of bread, and it's a physical meal, something follows that, that distinguishes that from when he says just breaking the bread. Something follows that to let you know they're talking about a physical meal, not a spiritual meal. And so the communion is that breaking of bread that he talks about Acts 20 and 7. And that gives us an example there. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread. How often did you do it, Paul? First day of the week. Every week is the first day. Every first day of the week, the disciples came together. You know, we meet on Sunday. Some people say, why do we meet? Why do you meet on Sunday? Why does the church meet on Sunday? Why don't we meet on Saturday? There are few that do meet on Saturday. But why does it meet on Sunday? Well, we meet on Sunday because that's the day the Lord resurrected from the grave. But we meet on Sunday to remember Christ and his resurrection. And this is the remembrance Christ said to give. This is what he said to do in remembrance of him. And so we follow that whole example that Paul left us that day to meet up on the first day of the week to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto his three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in the holy thing, and of the spite of the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, our recompense saith the Lord. And again, the Lord should judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want you to notice that he talks about hath counted the blood of the covenant. You know,
of how much sore punishment shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and in kind blood of the covenant, where he is sanctified and holy thing, and in the spite and spirit of grace.
That's why we're so concerned that people assemble on the first day of the week to commune with the Lord. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people in the church don't understand that. I go to their house and I contend with them about being at church. And if you're not careful, they get really mad at you. Because they go where they want to and it's their business. They have free will not to go, not to not go. Yeah, that's right. Everybody does. But you're putting your soul in jeopardy. When you put other things ahead of the Lord. When you'd rather go hunting or fishing or whatever.
You're doing despite the Spirit of grace. You're counting the blood of the covenant, which we partake of every morning, every Sunday morning, as not being important. You're trodden under foot the Son of God. And that right there, my friends, is one reason a lot of people don't like the Church of Christ. They don't like it. Because we teach and we expect the members to be here every Sunday. And that's a problem for many folks. They have a problem with that. But the Bible teaches that. It's something that Jesus Christ requires. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ and you're not in him, then you really can't participate in the proper way. The first thing you need to do is be in Christ. In Isaiah 55 and 3, he said, incline your ear. Here, come unto me, and your soul shall live. So I encourage everybody today to turn to the Bible, read their Bible, learn about Jesus Christ, get in Christ, and participate every Sunday with him. Join him. If you had a date, you're going to stand your date up. And you know, if you was espoused to be married to a man and he stood you up, you wouldn't like that. Or if you was to be married to a lady and you set a date and he's supposed to come meet with you and you didn't show up, he wouldn't like that at all. I don't think the Lord likes it either. He set this first day of the week, a set time for us to assemble. And we can set it for any time, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, any time on the first day of the week. Because the first day of the week is when the Lord was resurrected. First day of the week is when we remember him. We have that example in Acts 27 that came together on the first day of the week to remember Jesus Christ, to break that bread and remember Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never been baptized in Christ, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Acts 27 says, for many of us have been baptized in Christ and put on Christ. So if you're not in Christ today, we get an opportunity to do that. You can come forward, you know, confessing your faith in him, repenting of your sins, be willing to change your life and live for him. And if you're in Christ today, perhaps you need a prayer to the brothers. He said, we confess our faults one another and pray one for another to be healed. He said, we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins. So if you're here subject to the gospel call, either way, we give you this opportunity to come while we stand and sing.